On today's episode of The Breakaway, presented by U.S. Bank, we take a look at Sacramento's playoff chances and what has to happen for the club to make the playoffs. Still a lot of opportunities, and we go through them all. Plus, we recap Wednesday's match against L.A. and a little preview of the Sunday match against Tacoma. Defiance is at home. You can grab your tickets at sacrepublicfc.com. And then finally, we talk to Academy Director Dennis Sanchez, and he gives us an update on what's going on with the Academy teams. So we get a lot to get to on today's episode of The Breakaway. But first, on this Financial Timeout brought to you by U.S. Bank, we're talking about buying a house. If you've never bought a house before, it can be overwhelming and hard to know where to start. First things first, make sure your credit history is in good shape. It's always a good idea to keep an eye on your credit. But if you're looking to buy a home, it's an extra good idea. Staying current on your existing accounts, maintain your employment status, and limit new credit inquiries. You should also start a down payment fund aimed to save $100 to $500 each month. Remember, 20% down is not the only option on a mortgage loan, but every little bit helps. Stay tuned for more first-time home buying tips from U.S. Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. At Elk Grove Charter School, our students chase their dreams. Students advance at their own pace. EGCS offers flexible schedules, small class sizes, and accelerated learning in a fully accredited learning environment. We help students balance their academic goals while pursuing their passions in club sports, performing arts, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. Elk Grove Charter School is now enrolling. Learn more by going to egcs.egusd.net or give us a call at 916-714-1653. We're confident our students will astound you. All right, let's do it. Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
Bandit in the box! Unbelievable strike!
My goodness, what a defensive play!
Half the crowd can't even believe it!
Check, check. All right, quickly going over the draw on Wednesday. By the way, great crowd. Match was a lot of fun. I mean, it was intense throughout. Obviously, Sacramento not getting the result they wanted. Obviously, won in 3 points against LA. And, you know, it's similar to what I talked about last week. It's the team playing pretty well, but unable to find the back of the net in situations where you would think they would. I mean, two offside calls on goals. One was a definite offside. I think it was the Cam one. The other, I'm not exactly sure, but I had a really good view on one of them, and it was definitely offside. So, but Sacramento, most shots they've taken all year, and I would say some of the best chances they've had all year as well. It's just that small piece that isn't so small of being able to find the back of the net. But if you look at, you know, the game through and through, having Luis Felipe back was a huge difference. Not only on the defensive end, but in the attack as well, and moving the ball, and you know, Sacramento basically was on the front foot most of the second half, and LA Galaxy was on their heels, basically parking the bus. We knew they were going to do this, right? They were going to play their middle two infield or midfielders back, and that's what they did in this second half, and really parked the bus and did a good job of getting out of there with a point. Sacramento obviously wanting to get that second goal. Formella scored late, and Sacramento tried to balance back from that and get 3 points, but all in all, they are still yet to be eliminated, and there's still a chance, and I'll talk about that here in a moment, but I want to talk a little bit more about the match. Formella, the last three matches, has played the best he's played all year. I thought Pete Pendleton played better. He's been out with an injury. He's been back the last two matches. I thought he played better than we've seen. Sargis and Casey have been pretty solid. Obviously, the goal given up, Preston Judd, who's, by the way, kind of been Sacramento's Achilles heel when these two teams have played. He scored twice in L.A. and scored this big goal here as well, and almost scored one in the first half. But I think even if he doesn't score that, probably a PK. Sargis was all over him, just didn't have good position on him, and a 1v1. And it's a frustrating goal, obviously. But Sacramento bounced back. And, I mean, following that goal, they probably play with the most intensity they've played all year long, and played with a purpose. And I think, you know, this isn't at the point of the season where Sacramento wanted to be, right? They wanted to have a little more leeway with what they could do these final three matches. This is where they're at, and they know that. And I think they're, you know, obviously frustrated with the draw, but they came up with a late goal. They tied it. And this is not a situation that is favoring Sacramento, but they are not out just yet. They need some help, but they've gotten help throughout this season. When big matches have happened for other teams, they haven't been able to pull off good results and have benefited Sacramento. We'll see if they can do that here down the stretch. But it's you know, not great odds. It's tough to, you know, come up with the math on this, but percentage-wise, it's around 25%. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about where everybody is at, and let's look at what has to happen here down the stretch for Sacramento to be one of the final teams in the playoffs. So right now, the 3-7 spots are all in play for any team. I shouldn't say any team, but you know what I mean. 3-7 has not been locked. Orange County currently 40 points, LA with 36 points, Oakland 34, Sacramento 33, Tacoma 33. Everybody has four matches to play except for Sacramento, who has three. The Republic do not have head-to-head tiebreakers against Oakland, LA, or Orange County. So they have to be ahead of those teams in points to be above them. They cannot have the same amount of points as them. Sacramento will be behind all three of those teams. They will be up on Tacoma. So theoretically, if Sacramento wins these next three matches, they play Tacoma on Sunday. Then they play Phoenix and San Diego. And you could make the case Sacramento's played San Diego's pretty tough. They played Phoenix pretty tough. But obviously, if they get all 9 points there, that would be 42 points. Here's what has to happen for the teams above them for Sacramento to make the playoffs. You could even say make the three seed if you want to count being above all these teams. For Orange County, they play Oakland, San Diego, Las Vegas, and LA. Now, some of these are a little bit off because teams play each other, so that's kind of makes things a little complicated. Orange County has to lose all four or tie one and lose three for Sacramento to be above them. They're at 40 points. Again, Sacramento has to get to 42. So they just need two more points, obviously. Three more points, whatever. But one, they can only get one more point for Sacramento to surpass them. Granted, they haven't been playing well recently. All right, moving on to LA. They have 36 points, four matches remaining. They play El Paso, Charleston, Tacoma, and Orange County. Again, El Paso, Charleston, pretty good teams, right? That hopefully will help Sacramento. LA, best they can do is win one and draw two. They can only get five more points. That is the best they can do. They can do worse than that, and it's good for Sacramento. Okay, for Oakland, the best they can do is win two and draw one. Again, that is if Sacramento wins all three. If Sacramento wins all three, it doesn't matter what Tacoma does because Tacoma is tied and Sacramento has them beat on head-to-head. Okay, if Sacramento gets 40 points, meaning they win two and draw one, they're already eliminated from the third seed. That's Orange County, who's already at 40 points. But they can still surpass LA and Oakland. For that to happen, for Sacramento to make that fourth playoff spot, LA can only, this is the best they can do. Again, that's 40 points. LA's currently at 36. The best they can do is win one, lose three, or draw three and lose one. Again, they play El Paso, Charleston, Tacoma, and Orange County. Again, Sacramento, to get that 4 seed, they'd be better than LA and Oakland in this scenario. Oakland would have to win one, draw two, and that's the best they can do with 34 points. So they can only get five more points, obviously. Okay, if Sacramento wins one and draws two, they'll finish with 39 points. Here's what has to happen at that point. Again, I'm not going to go all the way through this, but this is the last one I'll do. LA, the best they can do, they have 36 right now, can draw two and lose two. They'll finish at 38. Oakland can win one and draw one, but they'd have to lose the other two. And that would, again, get them to 38. So that would get Sacramento to 39. Now, Tacoma is in a interesting situation. They play Sacramento. This is why this first match and every match here from out the rest of the season is incredibly important. But specifically this Sunday match, if Sacramento can beat Tacoma, that would put them in very good position compared to where they are right now, because Tacoma would be not eliminated, but effectively eliminated from Sacramento's rearview mirror on trying to get to the fourth and maybe even the third spot. Here is who everybody plays. Orange County plays Oakland, San Diego, Vegas, LA. Now, Vegas, again, has been eliminated. I would assume Orange County will probably be able to handle that game, but again, they haven't been playing that well. And Vegas has been sneaky on some teams. Let's give them credit. LA plays El Paso, Charleston, Tacoma, and Orange County. Oakland plays Orange County, Tacoma, San Diego, and then Sporting KC 2 on the road. So a lot of things happening, everything up in the air. Obviously, lots for everybody to kind of digest and trying to figure out where everybody is at. But the grand scheme of things is there is a possibility Sacramento still makes the playoffs. And it all starts Sunday. You got to beat Tacoma. This is a team Sacramento's done well with this year. They've beat them twice, drawn once. Last, obviously, was the game in Tacoma where I thought they played really well, and hopefully they can get 3 points on Sunday. I know the guys are still feeling confident despite, you know, some tough stretches in games where they've played well, felt like they should have scored goals and were unable to. But this is a big one. This is the one where you need points. And then you have Phoenix on October 23rd, and then the final match of the year at home against San Diego. So that Phoenix match on the road, which is a tough place to play. It's a tough place to play. All right, last five for all of the teams in this little race here. Orange County's won 2 of 5. They've lost the other two matches. LA Galaxy is 1-3 out of 5 and drew one of those matches. They've only lost one out of their last five. Oakland has drawn 1, 1-2, and lost 2 in their last five. And Sacramento has lost 3, 1-1, and drew 1. Tacoma has been really struggling. They did win one match against Orange County 4-1, but other than that, they've lost quite a few in a row, 4 of their last 5, and I think even 2 more behind that. So they've been struggling. That's why I feel pretty confident about Sacramento going into Sunday's match. Should be a great crowd. Lots of people going to be in the crowd in their seats. We've used Soccer Day, so should have a lot of kids in the crowd as well, which will be a lot of fun. So Sacramento, it all begins Sunday. They gotta figure out a way to pull together points. They don't have many left to give up. If any, we don't even know if they could still, you know, score a bunch. They could play great these last 3 matches, win all 3, and still be eliminated because other teams are also pulling up points and getting wins. So, but all they can do is control themselves. And if Sacramento can get a big win against Tacoma, that's at least a step in the right direction. And then we get into heavy scoreboard watching, which, I mean, come on, let's be honest. I've already been in for about half the season. I've been paying attention to what other teams have been doing to see how it matches up. So we could see Sacramento tied for the 4th spot coming out of this weekend. It's very possible. If Oakland loses and LA loses, it is a possibility. LA plays El Paso on Sunday. We won't know till after the Republic game on Sunday. And they play in El Paso. And Oakland plays Orange County the Saturday before. That is tomorrow at 7 p.m. So we'll know a little bit of that going into it. Again, that 3 spot is still technically up for grabs. If Orange County basically loses out, they will probably not hold that spot. But they play Oakland, then they play San Diego, Vegas, and L.A. You'd have to imagine they probably win at least one of those. The Vegas match, probably the one that I'm keeping my eye on. And they are not out of the – they could still find a way to top San Diego. So they might – they're not in cruise control by any means at all, and neither is San Diego. San Diego wanted to keep that second seed locked up. That's big, especially for home field advantage going into the playoffs. Okay, I hope that gave you a good little breakdown on where everybody is at. I hope it wasn't too complicated. I had to spend a little bit of time writing all this down and making sure I had it correct, which I believe I do. But the big thing is, Got to get all 9 points. If you win all 3, 9 points, 42 is a much better spot than 40 or 39 or below that, because that's when you need some serious help if that is the case. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about this Tacoma Defiance team and how Sacramento is going to attack them. Hey, Breakaway fans. Shout out to our friends at Suncrest Bank, who not only believe that local matters, they prove it with their support of Sac Republic. When you think about the struggles we've endured over the past year and a half, it's good to know that Suncrest Business Recovery Center is at the backs of local businesses the entire time with PPP, SBA, and agribusiness loans. They're here for the long haul, ensuring our community not only survives, but thrives. Suncrest Bank is where Central Valley turns for personal and business banking needs. Visit any one of their 7 locations or online at suncrestbank.com. You can also call them at 916-830-3560. And speak to a Suncrest business account representative today. That's 916-830-3560. And hey, give us an assist. Tell them Connor Sutton sent you. Go Republic. Go Suncrest Bank. The bank where local matters. An equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
All right. Tacoma Defiance. Sacramento has beaten them twice. They've drawn with them once so far this season.
They just lost to Las Vegas Lights 1-0 the other day, had 16 shots, but were not able to convert. Vegas, 11 shots, they were able to convert, 6 on target for Tacoma. 11 shots from inside the box for this team. 3-4-3, with 3 in the back, obviously, as Sacramento did earlier in the year. By the way, that Vegas team has Dekel Keenan on it, who just signed with them about midway through the season. So excited to see him back playing in the USL Championship, former Sac Republic center back. Remember last time these two teams played, they did it on the smaller field in Tacoma, so Sacramento had to be a little more diligent and controlled in their attack, and I think they did that. But this on a regular-sized field, as is at Heart Health Park, they can play it over the top a little bit more, and I think they've tried to do that. That's why they had Malik Foster in. But if you look at guys to keep your eye on, Adoniran for Tacoma, he has 10 goals. That's tied for 14th in the league. He's in double digits, which is a solid year. No one's going to catch Barry for who has 25, but still a solid year for him. And he's a guy you got to be aware of on that left side for Tacoma. They also do a good job, by the way, on the defensive end. And this is something that Sacramento tried to exploit last time, is with 3 in the back, trying to get it out wide in counter, get their wingers or their outside midfielders overextended and then in counter. But for Sacramento, getting in wide, and this is what we saw them do on Wednesday against LA Galaxy. They wanted to get it in wide and whip it in. And they had a lot of opportunities out of that, and I think we'll probably see a little bit of the same from Tacoma. And if you can see, I mean, this is a match where I would imagine if you're Sacramento and it's late and it's tied, you're sending in just about everybody trying to get a goal to either go up or to draw or whatever that looks like. You're really going for it, So we'll see. But for Tacoma, it's that they have a lot of spots where they can make changes from the lineup that they had Vegas. We've seen Ray Serrano come in off the bench, Anguiano. As well, he started last time against Sacramento, so we'll see if the Republic can do a big win. I mean, these two teams just played not that long ago at home at Heart Health Park, and Sacramento did a nice job of handling them in that match, 3-1. Again, they played that 3 in the back. It was a little bit different, 3-5-2 they played formationally there. In Sacramento with a 3-1 win and really dominated it. And I would imagine we would see something similar lineup-wise. If you look at, at that match, they had Wheeler Amanu as the second center midfielder with Luis Felipe. And in the back, I think this is going to look pretty much the same with Nabi, who will probably be, he'll be in the 18. I don't know if he'll be in the 11. Sargis Casey at the center back, Spock McCrary, Lucroix, who've both been good. Emil Quayle came off the bench, which I was kind of surprised by in this last match on Wednesday. I imagine he'll be back in the starting 11. And then Malik Foster and Kamiwasa up top. I mean, I know they didn't score for this last match, but I thought they played pretty well, had good opportunities. They just got a finish. And Formella, who has been playing really well. It's probably the best stretch he's had all season. And so hopefully him getting hot at the right time can be very, very beneficial. I would imagine we'll see something similar as we saw against Tacoma last time. I think maybe Jaime Villarreal, who was out this match with an injury, could very well be in this situation coming up. We did see Belmar this last match. We saw Pete Pennant in as well in the starting 11. So we'll see if Sacramento makes some changes. Saldana, I imagine, will stay. But again, they had 26 shots last match. 26, best of the year. They doubled LA Galaxy. They had possession 57% of the time. Really, if you look at everything except for the final score, you would think that Sacramento pretty much dominated this game. And I think in many ways that they did against LA Galaxy, and I would imagine Sacramento will look to do the same, just converting goals. That's going to be the main difference. A lot of whipping in balls, getting into wide areas, maybe a little extra over-the-top runs. I think Sacramento started doing that a little more about three-quarters of the way through the season just to change it up. And it's been successful here and there, just occasionally, they've had a tough time, getting the ball in that situation. You know, because keepers are doing a good job coming out and making the play. And so Sacramento just got to be different, be dangerous, as Mark Briggs always says. And hopefully Sacramento can do that against this match. This is a big one. 3 points here, and you know you're in a much better position than you were before the match. So Sacramento can get to 36 points. It definitely helps their odds of making the playoffs. And to me, I mean, if we're talking about must wins, you would have said that Wednesday was a must win, but this one is absolutely a must win. This is a can't lose, and Sacramento needs to get 3 in this match. Should be a good one. Sunday, 2 p.m. kickoff, ESPN Plus, KQCA, My58. Grab your tickets if you haven't. I don't know if there's that many left. We got a lot of people who are going to be at the match, but you can do so online at SacRepublicFC.com. We thank you for listening to this episode. We'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a win, and I will get into the playoff chances as well on next week. We talked to Academy Director Dennis Sanchez as the Academy teams are about a third of their way through the season. We wanted to check in with him. So here is that interview with Dennis Sanchez. All right, joining us on the podcast right now, Academy Director Dennis Sanchez, and it's perfect timing. Juju Chavez, Academy product, just won goal of the month for the first time, and I don't know, it feels like a long time, with a banger. First question, Dennis, did you teach him that?
No, that's all Juju. We're here to support him, but that is an action that I've seen him work continuously on over the last couple years. After each training session, before sometimes, you know, he's done the warm up, which Luke gets upset with a little bit. But no, that is all Juju. That's a testament to his work and a very deserving award for him.
A unbelievable goal when it happened. It was awesome. Winning goal of the month, obviously. After winning goal of the week. Incredible in multi fashions, but I know that you know, we're at a special time right now with a lot of former Republic Academy players in the first team and playing well. I mean, if you want, we can go through them all. But Hayden Sargis, Mario Penagos, Nabi, Rafael Horegi. We just talked about Juju Chavez. It just seems like the wealth of skill level on this first team coming from the academy, and I know that that is so huge for you guys and to continue to build through the academy.
No, of course. I mean, look, again, always reiterate that it's a testament to the club and believing and giving the opportunities to the young players. I know Mark is very adamant about not just giving out opportunities, but being deserving of them. So I think that the players have stuck with it, have, you know, had to deal with overcoming in certain situations and in moments of adversity. And I think that's where you're starting to see kind of in year two where there is more consistency from a lot of these guys. And I think that's the hardest part about truly becoming a professional is playing at the highest level on a consistent basis and not having, you know, one out of three good games, but being at the top level over an extended period of time. And there's still going to be moments where there's dips and forms, but I think that they are in a better position now to allow themselves to get out of those dips and forms in a quicker way and get back to playing at a higher level consistently. So no, it's great for them, and we got to keep pushing for more.
I imagine a lot of those guys are great advocates for current guys in the academy saying, hey, this is the roadmap. We've talked about that before, right? These guys are the examples for a lot of the players in the academy now. But have any of them come back? And I know, like, in the offseason, a couple of the guys went and trained with the academy as well, and explaining some of that consistency and how, you know, tough it is to be great day in and day out rather than 2 out of 3 days or 1 out of 3 days.
No, I mean, all of them are great role models and stewards for the club, whether it's within our academy or actually working with clubs in the community. They're regularly out there, I guess, promoting the message of diligence, hard work, commitment, and still staying hungry to this day, right? Because the reality is there's still a carrot for all of them to continue to grow and improve upon. But no, we try to use those guys as role models as much as possible, especially, you know, recently with Rafa over the offseason as a, you know, 15-year-old professional player. I think that is a reality that a lot of parents maybe seemed for them, you know, very far down the road when they come in as a U13 player. But the reality is, you know, that can be 2 to 3 years down the line. So, you know, we're going to continue to push our top guys up. I know this weekend with the U17 group, we're going to have a couple 2008s that are partaking with that team. So that's basically 4 age groups up or 4 years up. But again, it's not just doing it to do it. It's because the players are deserving of it and have shown that they can play at that level.
Can you give us just an academy update on what's been going on at the various age groups level, how the teams have been performing, how the guys have been producing and improving every day?
Yeah, I mean, I think from a development standpoint, you know, we're always developing, right? It's still right. Early on in the season, and I think we're finally starting to kind of get into a consistent run of games, which creates a level of consistency amongst all the groups. But I would say overall, the academy's in good stance. You know, our younger teams have been doing really well against local competition. You know, we've had some tough battles with MLS and non-MLS opponents at the older age groups. But I think that we're right where we should be at this point in the season. And the message to the players is to continue to, you know, stay dedicated to their craft, and we keep moving forward. And look, you know, we continue to use last year's momentum as a carrot for a lot of our players. You know, I think that the reality is, even though we had three teams, you know, make it to the playoffs, two in the semifinals, three out of five age groups win their divisions, we want more. And in a lot of ways, we felt like we were short in what we wanted to accomplish last year. And so that is very much still a motivating factor for all of our academy groups moving into this season.
Any players who've had a standout couple weeks here that we can acknowledge?
Yeah, I think Julian Melli's been a kid that actually had a quite a bit of time with the first team, but is having some really standout performances with the 19s. I know that you know, a number of guys that again have been training with the first team are coming back and doing well. Amjad specifically, who's using his experience with the first team to come back and take more of a I would say leadership role, you know, within the 19s and helping them, you know, take the next steps. I know that the two 2008s that I mentioned specifically are Omar Marquez and Chance Cal, who have been consistent with their U15 group and are deserving of the opportunity to move up with 17. So I think, you know, the message always is, even though there's individual performances, it doesn't happen without collective success.
Well, I love it. I know you guys are working hard. I have to ask one question that I didn't even tell JJ I was going to ask this, and we can cut this, JJ, if you want to get mad at me here. Real Monarchs debuted a 13-year-old this weekend. Where does that put you at? You're like, all right, we got to step up our game. I mean, or is that just something where you're just like watching from afar, like, okay, let's see how this goes.
No,
I can't believe it. That's young. That is young.
Yeah. No, look, I think that you're seeing the trends within U.S. soccer that a lot more clubs and warranted, right, are being way more open to accelerating the younger player's path. And I think that there's always a balance, right? You have to level expectations. You have to level a number of different variables that go into a player's path. But I think for me, the most important thing is, you know, that people are believing in young American talent, and you continue to see it with, you know, whether it's the national team. I know MLS just put out their, you know, top 22, under 22, 15 of those players are coming from MLS Next Academies. So I think that there's continue to be an investment in young players, a belief in young players. And look, that to me is the biggest difference, is that there's opportunities for players to take on and to accelerate their growth. So it's great to see. And, you know, I hope that all young players continue to have those opportunities in the future.
It's unbelievable. 13 years old. When Rafa got signed at 15, I was thinking about, you know, what did I do at 15? And now seeing 13, it's wild. So, but it's just awesome to see that the game at this younger level, and I know you see this every single day, is being produced and improved in every way. So I'm excited to see for the future. I know the Republic season is, you know, kind of winding down here in October, but you guys are still early on in the season, so you still have a long ways to go. But have you already started to see some of those things click for some of the academy players and already seen them, you know, making progressions that maybe they weren't making a month, 2 months ago?
No, for sure. I think that's where we get the joy out of coaching, right? It's to start to see, you know, the environment, you know, really kind of take place and the culture that we're looking for. And again, we have to remember that even though we have a number of returning players, when you add new players to an age group or you combine different age groups, it's a completely different makeup and a different team in a lot of ways. So I think we're still very on in the development stages of the collective group. And really now it's about continue to kind of set forth with those habits and progressing over a set period of time. But no, we feel confident where we're at. But as always, we want to do more. We want to keep improving. And that starts by, you know, the staff looking at ourselves first and ensuring that, you know, our developmental pathway and plans are in place, and then passing on those messages to the players and creating the right environment for them and ultimately having them hold each other accountable and creating those daily habits that we are wanting to build within the academy.
When you bring some of the academy guys and academy teams out to a first team game at home and they see the crowd, they see the atmosphere, how much does that, do you think that like the next practice, next training after that, can you see them being amped up from that, or how do they respond to it?
No, I think all those little details will hopefully only motivate our players to keep working. And I think that where hopefully those types of experiences set in are the days where, you know, they're by themselves and they don't want to train and it's cold out or they're sore and they need an extra level of motivation. I mean, look, ultimately we are, you know, a guiding factor in their youth development, you know, career, but they are the ones that have to drive forth their desire and commitment on a daily basis. So again, you know, talking about role models, having those guys in the first team, that has to give them a level of motivation that it's obtainable for them to have those opportunities. And I think that we continually try to share that message with the players, whether it's through the game minutes or also training experiences that a number of our other academy players are experiencing on a consistent basis.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Dennis. We'll talk to you in a few months and get another academy update. So thank you, my friend.
I appreciate it as always. Take care.
Our thanks to Dennis Sanchez and to US Bank for being the presenting partner of this podcast. A lot going on today, and hope you tune in on Sunday, or hope you're going to be at the match on Sunday against SacramentoFC.com/tickets. Again, there are not many left, so grab those ASAP if you can, if you want to make it out to the match. If not, it'll be on ESPN Plus, KQCA, My58, and Estrella TV for a 2:00 kickoff, a big match against Tacoma Defiance. We thank you for your support as always, and of course, go Republic!